So a lot of folks are asking these days, what is Tallahassee all about, especially wanting to know what is our brand. So we brought Carrie Post to the show. She's the head of Visit Tallahassee, and we'll find out what she knows about this question. And then some examples, real life. Jesse and Tyler Rice are the guys that started Backwoods Bistro and Backwoods Crossing restaurants. So it's going to be fun. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tripping out to truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Truck and Car Concepts smoking hot summer savings going on now. Get a free tailgate pong game with any purchase $500 or more, or a free seven-way plug with any gooseneck hitch installation.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tripping out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Get your free tailgate pong game or your free seven-way plug this week during the smoking hot summer savings event going on now at Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from...
Call 656-8800.
Here we are again, another opportunity to talk with these very fine people about Tallahassee and what's going on around town. And so today we are going to learn more about what is Tallahassee's brand from none other than Carrie Post. She is the Executive Director of Tourism Development, otherwise known as Visit Tallahassee there, Leon County Tourist Development Council. She's been the Executive Director now for some time. Let's see. She took the helm in August of last year, so now just about a year, succeeding Lee Daniel, who many of us do know. He retired in June. God bless him. But prior to this post, she served the state of Florida, particularly as a 20-year veteran of the Florida tourism industry, former deputy secretary of the state for the state of Florida. Wow. So she's been out about doing this kind of thing. She's part of Visit Florida for a long time. She was the director of the Viva Florida 500 campaign back there in 2013. And that was all about the 500-year history or 500-year anniversary of Ponce de Leon's landing in Florida. Yeah, big deal there. Anyway, so she knows a lot about such things, tourism and branding, and she's putting her talents and skills and heart to the business of Tallahassee as such. So we're going to talk with her at length in the second hour of the show. She's been a part of that trip they took up there to Nashville. You know, there are folks in town who think that if we go and look what other people are doing or have done, you know, maybe we could learn a thing or two. So they go out. They've been to Boulder and I think Austin, and didn't they go up to Springfield, Missouri at one point, or where is it? I forget. In any case, they've made such efforts with the intention of bringing to bear what choice facts and observations and inspirations they might glean from such an effort. And in the course of doing so, they discovered in this trip to Nashville that, oh my goodness, Nashville has such a resolute determination to advance their brand. Maybe we should be doing that. And then some people said, well, what is our brand? So, we'll get Carrie's take on that whole enterprise as such, the effort to find our brand. And if you're sitting there listening and thinking, man, I've lived here all my life and I've never once wondered what our brand is. I mean, the argument can be made that if you're simply doing what you do, either as an individual or a community, people will discover what you're all about. Making that discovery isn't a matter of labeling as much as it is bringing that into the minds of people in a way that is genuine. And I mean, it's about revealing rather than applying some external brand idea. I don't know. Leave it to people like Carrie Post. She's the professional here. She's the marketing person who knows this stuff. So we'll get from her what she's going to offer in the way of suggestions and some of the other things that this bureau does. I mean, by the way, visit Tallahassee. That's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week kind of effort. And when you're faced with, you know, some statistics that aren't particularly favorable, like crime rate, you know, and segregation and, you know, I don't know, gentrification. How about in economic entrenchment? These are not the nicer parts of the conversation. How do you deal with that? You know, or if you're in the business of managing crisis, like a hurricane comes through and just kind of tears everything apart, well, she's going to talk about some of their participation in those efforts. Prior to that, I do have with me in the studio the Rice Brothers. Kind of cool. These guys are from Sop Choppy, two brothers, Jesse and Tyler. Restaurateurs who've decided that keeping it real is their brand. And maybe we can learn a thing or two. They've taken this idea of farm to table concept and they've applied it out there at this Backwoods Crossing, which is really their second contribution to the local restaurant scene. Backwoods Bistro precedes the Crossing. We're going to learn about how they came about this enterprise and why it's important to them that they're doing this and kind of what their vision is for the future. Young fellows, too, by the way. These are not, we would say, seasoned restaurant owners. But they certainly have a lot to say about what they think Tallahassee is all about. So maybe that'll help us, too, further this conversation about Tallahassee's brand and such. Here's another item for you, too. I wanted to give a shout-out to our friends over there at 93.3. They've got an upcoming Safety, Security, and Survival Expo. It's out there at the Pavilion, which you know is now a very well-recognized, even famous part of the center of Tallahassee. And for its part, the Pavilion is going to be hosting this second annual Safety, Security, and Survival Expo that's coming up next Saturday, the 15th, runs from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. So God bless Barry Kay and all of his team and all the exhibitors. And they're going to have everybody out there talking about everything from security alarms to hurricane preparations and identity and financial theft prevention, health, hunting, and camping. You got all these seminars going on, contributors who are presenting not only products and services, but they're going to actually do presentations of these various topics. Free parking, great food. There's a $5 admission. Kids 12 and under are free. So there you go. Vendors, seminars, and demonstrations, all courtesy of Freedom 93.3 FM, our home station for Tallahassee Talks, which, as you know, if you've been around a while, is simulcast. We're on moosemagnificat.com. And there's a repeat of the broadcast Saturday night, so we'll be on again tonight at 9:30 on Moose. Yeah, we like Moose. Moose Magnificat. Here's an announcement from Leon County, speaking of the county. This dates back here a week or so ago. The Florida Association of Counties presented Leon County Commissioner Brian DeLoge with the Commitment to Service Award during the 2017 FAC, Florida Association of Counties, annual conference and exposition in Palm Beach County. So how cool is that? Congratulations to our very own Brian DeLoge, Commissioner for District 4 a long-time servant of this here community. And he's quoted as saying, "It's been an honor to serve and represent counties in many different ways. I'm humbled by this award that recognizes those committed to proving how and why counties matter." He is the past president of Florida Association of Counties and is concluding his term as the president of the National Association of Counties. So he's just about finished up with that, and then we'll find out what other mountains he's going to be climbing in the near future. As you know, he loves the outdoors, and he's given to that. So, all right, folks, that's what I've got for you at the moment. We've got these young fellas coming by way of the Backwoods Bistro and Backwoods Crossing Restaurant. You're going to learn a lot about them. So stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
I love my Volvo. That's why I love Volcar. They take care of my Volvo the way I do. But my husband doesn't drive a Volvo. Good news, Volcar cares for all cars, and they give the same extra attention to detail and the same qualified precision every car requires. New or not so new, Carol and her team at Volcar are some of my most favorite people. She makes it a lot easier to understand what's going on with my car. And I trust her. And I think my husband does too, especially when he saw they charge less than his mechanic for the same service. So we're just one big happy family. Me, my Volvo, and my husband. With a little help from our friends at Volcar.
Volcar Sales and Service on Capital Circle Northeast, just north of Miccosukee in Tallahassee. Volcar for all cars. On the web at volcartally.com or call 942-4980. 942-4980.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We have Dr. Mignon, another edition of Health Watch, and glad to have you with us.
Glad to be here.
Another edition of costs of medical care. Top of the mind in our conversations constantly, it seems. And for the last decade or better, all of us faced with rising healthcare costs, the cost of insurance, and the costs that are impacting medical practitioners. So you're not immune to any of this, the cost of insurance. Here we are in this time when the Affordable Health Care Act has been in play, now being repealed, replaced. Where are we in your point, from your point of view? I mean, as a practitioner, you see how does it look from your standpoint, I guess?
It's a very, confusing and complicating time, of course, with the implementation of the Affordable Health Care Act. It's been more challenging or placed more challenges for good reason, but more challenges on the practitioners in terms of coding and communicating the status of the patient. That is because they were making adjustments so that you can actually rate doctors on their actual outcomes for the patient. So it's becoming outcome-based,
right,
which is a good thing.
Yeah.
To make those measures.
Greater degree of accountability in that sense.
Exactly.
And on that side of the question.
Exactly. So for us as a nation, in terms of people's healthcare status, that's a great thing. And in fact, actually, I ran into a doctor friend of mine just yesterday when we were talking about it. We see fewer and fewer people who do not have health insurance. So more people have had access and have health insurance. And I can say that, and I hear it all the time, and new patients come with their new health insurance because they haven't had it for many years and they know that they're due for, physicals and lab work. So it's been a positive for people's, the state of people's health up until this point. So for the patients, it's been a good thing for them. The finances of it has been challenging for over a decade, obviously. And
for you, what drives the cost mostly for a medical facility? I mean, where are most of your costs occurring? Is it in medical personnel? I mean, your payroll.
Oh, yes.
That you're making, is it the insurance costs or is it all, I mean?
We have a lot of very large ticket items. But yes, payroll is huge. And then as we are required to do more and more, even though the reimbursements for our services have not been increased, to do that work, it takes more people. So then that means your payroll goes up and your taxes, et cetera, goes up. Which is more challenging. So the burden of documenting and communicating all this information, which is great information, but that burden of doing all of that is put on the medical practices. Huh. Meanwhile, their payment doesn't go up. So it's very challenging to achieve that goal.
So rising expectations, wanting better quality, more accountability, you have the burden of supplying that. And in turn, you incur greater cost.
Yes.
And that gets translated back to us or transferred on back to the patient.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Well, greater cost, even for the doctor's office. It doesn't necessarily get translated back because the payment doesn't go up. It's just that the doctor's office has to endure or accept or cover those costs. And also, there's a cost in the amount of time that we have. So that becomes a challenge because you have to do more work, you know, both taking care of the actual individual who's in front of you, but also doing all of this documentation in the same amount of time that you had before. So that is a cost. I mean, it is very taxing to do that, you know, psychologically and, you know, mentally. And again, the patient doesn't need to feel that. They're the patient. So you have to do all of these things at the same time, and that's very challenging.
And in fact, are there hidden costs? You say, you know, the patient doesn't know about this. I think about the costs of the technologies.
Yes.
Technological advances have come, and that new shiny machine has its own price tag.
Oh, yes, that's a good point.
But as a practitioner, I'm expecting you, because all the other practitioners have this going on over here, so now you're under pressure to come back and say, okay, yeah, we've got that new thing.
Yes, or even the technology to support all the changes. Again, you know, technology
software
is great,
costs.
But your electronic medical records, there was a transition so many years ago over to that, although there are a few holdouts, I understand, out there. I mean, you know, people who just decided I'm not going to make that transition, and at some point, you know, I won't be practicing because it's such a challenge to convert your records over to EMR. Fortunately, when I came out in 2003 to open the medical practice, we started on electronic medical records. So that was very fortunate, and we did have to make one change from one EMR company to another, maybe 6 years ago, but that was a challenge, but we did it, and like so many other people. But doing that, you know, there's a cost, because you don't just buy EMR and technology these days. There's fees continually.
Raises an interesting question for me. You grew up in Tallahassee, and you went off to medical school. You went to Emory?
I went to a Tufts School of Medicine in Boston.
Yeah. Came back here, settled in Tallahassee, opened your practice. Why?
Because this is a great place to live, and because I'm from here. And,
those are the obvious answers.
That's it. It
but
felt natural.
But what is it like to be practicing medicine in Tallahassee? I mean,
it's very interesting, and especially as a person who's from here, you know, on a personal note, it's great because I get to take care of the children of people that I went to school with, or the parents of people that I went to school with.
Right.
It gives, of course, great perspective. And it's great, even if I didn't know the patient, I can tell pediatric patients or adult patients, I can give them insights to what it's like to go to, you know, this middle school or this high school, or where people should go fishing, or how they should live their life, and give them good examples on in terms of health and those types of things.
Neat.
So it's very interesting.
Folks, this is what we do. We bring this lovely contributor to the microphone and ask her to share the good things that she has in store for us. We call it Health Watch with Dr. Mignon, contributing to our good health on a regular basis. Dr. Mignon, thanks for being with us.
So glad to be here.
Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
If you are like me, you're a bit of a foodie, informally speaking. I think Rick Oppenheim holds the official title of unofficial food critic for Tallahassee, but there are those who aspire to such things. I may be one of those. Grew up in the restaurant business. My father had a restaurant in the Seattle area for many years, and learned a lot about why I do not want to be in the restaurant business. Rarely saw my father, as a matter of fact. So it have kind of a soft spot in my heart, I suppose, for those who venture into such enterprise. And we've got a couple of these young fellows with us today who have done just that. Twice. So we're not sure what's wrong with them, but we're about to find out. We hope that you'll enjoy getting to know these two guys. And I've promised to not refer to them as the Rice brothers. However, we have Jesse Rice and Tyler Rice, the proprietors, the owners of and operators of two restaurants, Backwoods Crossing and Backwoods Bistro. Guys, how are you?
Good. Doing how are well. You?
Good to see you.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for being part of the fun and games as we go forward here in the attempt to bring to Tallahassee, to our listeners, the kinds of things that you have decided to do. And I say this sort of tongue in cheek, but quite seriously, there's a lot of business you can get involved in. In any case, that could be considered high risk. I don't know of another that would really rival restaurant business, especially in a town like Tallahassee, where we will give you one chance, okay, to get it right, and if you mess up, we're gone, because there are just so many choices out there in a rather confined population of people, right? We don't have 2 million people living in Tallahassee, right? So you got a smaller crowd of folks. You don't want to mess up on a Friday night, because it'll haunt you. So my first question is, how do you guys spend your weekends?
What's a weekend?
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Thank you. There's the answer, boys and girls. Is it fair to say, and we're going to get into a little bit about your own personal history, but is it fair to say that with restaurant business, because it's been said to me, it's like show business that just never ends. You know, the curtain is coming up all the time.
It's definitely a lifestyle. It's not something you do like a 9-to-5. It's something you choose to commit your life to. It's not like we constantly live it, even when there's no such thing as a day off. Even like Sundays we're closed at the crossing, we still have to do work. We feed our chickens. We feed the quail. Yeah. We have to do truck orders in and have constant things coming in from employees.
So now that begs the question, why are you doing this to yourselves? I mean, you're young, you're proactive, you're smart, good looking, great futures ahead of you, and you've committed yourself to what sounds like an arduous life.
It's a dream.
Is it?
Oh yeah.
Not a nightmare, a dream.
It's fun.
It's constantly evolving, and watching something you create grow. It's almost like raising a child that doesn't breathe, I guess, but it does, because it has 60 or 70 moving parts, not including the animals. And it's just as exciting.
Did you have background in restaurant growing up? Like me, I had that kind of advantage, I suppose.
Well, our parents always cooked and taught us how to cook. And then, like, our first jobs were in a restaurant in Sop Choppy.
I see.
So,
but they weren't restaurateurs. They
no.
Okay.
My dad's a computer programmer. My mom's a youth leader and a teacher, essentially. She basically travels around the United States and helps teachers improve their teaching methods.
Okay. Backwoods Bistro was the first, right? That's where you started. That's over there on Tennessee and Calhoun, or
Tennessee and Gadsden.
Tennessee and Gadsden, right?
And we were actually in Sop Choppy for about 6 years before Tallahassee.
That? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so we did Sop Choppy for 6 years, and then relocated to Tallahassee at the current location.
I see.
Near Leon, and then we've been doing that for almost 5 years now.
That's a great menu too, by the way.
Appreciate it. We pour hard into it for sure.
I've brought a lot of clients and friends over there. Lunchtime especially, haven't disappointed me. I mean, it's been really the uniqueness of the presentation is I mean the food itself is kind of cool, and the menu, I don't know of another one that's quite like that. Even your Crossings menu is a little different, isn't it?
The bistro
and the Backwoods Crossings have different.
Yeah, definitely the Crossing menu fluctuates a lot based on what's growing in the garden and whatnot. But we definitely, the bistro menu, I wrote them differently. They have similar items on them and has the same feel because it comes from the same crazy mind. But it definitely, I mean, they definitely have similarities, but they are different on purpose, so people can even, because they're only 7 miles apart, so people can go to different areas and get a somewhat different experience.
And for those who may be unfamiliar, this Backwoods Crossing that we're talking about was really the business of bringing us this farm to table concept. What about that did you find attractive, maybe?
That actually happened on accident. We found the location. We weren't like planning to do a farm to table, and we had so much land surrounding the building that we started to kind of design like a picturesque like flower garden out front for people to sit in. And we just started planting fruits and vegetables, and it just went crazy from there. Look, we saw the potential and just ran with it.
Look at that.
Yeah, because location is everything for restaurants, where they're placed at and the surroundings of it. And basically we picked a location, and then that's the same thing we do with the bistro.
Right.
You build the restaurant to the area, not put a restaurant just randomly somewhere and hope it works.
Now that's interesting.
Yeah, so basically farm to table has been something that's been exploding through the U.S., and it's also something that's always been a passion of mine, is getting closer to where the food actually comes from and how it, like how fresh can you make it, basically.
Right. And so that, in fact, is exactly what happens. If I come in and sit down there at the Crossings and I'm ordering an item on the menu, you're going to go and get that from your garden, and that's going to be what you use to prepare the meal, right?
Yeah, we kind of have like three separate menus at the Crossing. We have our regular menu, which we supplement as much stuff from the garden as we can.
Uh-huh.
And then we have a garden creations menu, which is, I would say, a majority of it is from our garden or from local farms.
Okay.
And the proteins are sourced really, really locally also. And then we have a tasting menu, which is called Taste the Garden. And it's six appetizer entrees that are brought out all together. And everything from that is from our farm or from a local farm.
You spoke to the idea that, you know, initially you came in and you had the restaurant location, talking about the Crossing, and it sort of just took off. You had the land, and so it really was sequential. It wasn't pre-designed that you went in with this.
Well, before we opened the doors, we definitely knew we were doing farm to table. It was like when we had got the building, we basically were just bouncing ideas around of what to do
with it.
Yeah, because we knew the hot location was hot. And so then we basically came up with the idea of farm to table, and that's when we started designing the front and the back, and then it exploded to the point where we have a farmer, a farm hand, and all of our servers have an hour a week they have to come in and do like some garden maintenance, just so it connects them to the garden more, and
Very cool.
makes them a part of the farm aspect. And then on top of that, I mean, we've got 73 hens out back that produce all of our eggs for us. They lay about 18,000 eggs a year. And we have we even started processing our own protein. We've got 200 quail that we have a breeder that rotates us Cortinix quail, which are meat quail, and now we cycle those, and those go on our garden creation menu also. So it's literally the freshest quail you'll eat, and it keeps us super southern. because that's like the whole, our whole spin is a Southern spin on fine dining. And that's what we're trying to do. We're chasing.
That's the backwoods note there. Yeah. Well, folks, this is pretty cool stuff. We're talking to Jesse and Tyler Rice, hailing from
Sop Choppy, Florida.
So genuine right down to your eggshells. There's nothing nothing manufactured here. This is the real deal, folks. You guys stay with me. We're going to take a little bit more time here after the break. And I want to dive in a little bit, too, as to some of the challenges, perhaps, that you have faced, not just in terms of being in business, which is fraught with challenge regardless, but then to be able to bring this concept. And, you know, Tallahassee isn't known for being experimental. You know, we kind of like the things we already know.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting proposition. Folks, you stay with me. We're going to have more with Jesse and Tyler. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back. We're talking with these two fine businessmen, Jesse and Tyler, owners, proprietors of Backwoods Crossing Restaurant and the Backwoods Bistro. Bistro came first, and you said this earlier, too, that you crafted the restaurant around the neighborhood, around the setting. What does that mean? How do you do that? What do you look for, I guess?
You try and keep the same feel. Like with my passion for food, I basically have like an idea of what food I want to produce, and then you basically have to give the community something that it doesn't have already. Because it's, I mean, that's the constant challenge, is keeping your menu evolving too. And because if, just like anything, if you do the same thing over and over again, it gets repetitive and boring. So that's why we constantly cycle our menus. Every 2 or 3 months, we just make little changes here and there, sometimes major changes, depending on what it is, and just kind of constantly watch the flow of food, because what's not selling, what's not.
Yeah,
exactly. And keep things changing. And that's what's really exciting about the Crossing, is we have our garden creation menu that Tyler mentioned earlier, that every single Tuesday we kind of develop ideas for what to go on the menu that's growing in our garden. And then Wednesday at 5 p.m. we always drop the new garden creation menu that we run for a week. So we always have, like, every single week we have a new 6 or 7 dishes that are, we didn't even know we were going to be doing the week before. And then all of a sudden these come out of nowhere from our gardener shows up with an apple melon, and we're like, what's an apple melon? And then we literally just play with it for a little while, me and my head chef and a couple other people. And then all of a sudden we have some magical dish that we have, like an apple golden watermelon compote that we put on like a skin on salmon. And
that's very cool. So how does the labor get divided between the two of you? I mean, Jesse, you seem to have the grasp of the menu and working with your executive chef. So then Tyler, is that also what you do, or how do you?
I do all of the front of the house management. A lot of paperwork. I create and design the bar menu and drinks, and I babysit the servers, talk to customers, make sure they're happy, put out fires
when
they're not happy.
And he can fix anything in the world. If something breaks, he'll fix it.
So he's also head of maintenance and operations. Yeah, I get that.
I actually have a degree in mechanical engineering, and so
is that right?
Kind of have a hobby.
That's cool.
Toilets now.
That's right. Well, fantastic.
We're kind of like the dynamic duo, because we both have the same mindset and the same goal, but we literally we're pushing towards the same thing, but we have different passions in the same field, kind of. Like, we love being in hospitality and being surrounded by people. Mm. And then I, like, have a passion for food, and I'm really well at leading the back part of the kitchen. Like, I'm the executive chef, and I have a head chef and a whole skew of other people. And then Tyler has, like, the same control over his front of the house people, and has, like, he's a bar manager, front of house manager. and he can deal with the customers a lot better than I can, too.
I noticed, too, from this article, and folks, if you are unfamiliar with it, there's an article in the current edition of Tallahassee Family Magazine entitled Restaurant in the Front, Farm in the Back. And I want to think this is Tyler. You were quoted saying that you have this grow room in the front, which is sort of a nursery. And then you said, we start all our seedlings in there, and once they're ready to go outside, we transplant them into the greenhouse out back. After that, we put them in the ground and farm them on site. So there's, I mean, you talked about quail and chickens and eggs, and then you have this from seedling all the way through. You guys like being involved in the process, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we have a grow room. It's probably 10 feet by 20 feet, and it's all stainless steel. It's got lights in it. In the winter, it's slammed full, completely full, because we're starting everything to get it ready for spring.
I would imagine.
And then we'll transfer it out to the greenhouse once it gets too big, and then kind of let it propagate. And then when it's big enough to put in the ground, put it in the ground if it's warm enough outside. Hopefully it doesn't freeze.
yeah.
Every single plant that we grow on site is started from seed at the crossing. We literally start, like, we shop around for heirloom seeds throughout the Southeast, because that's where we are, you know. We try and keep it, like, pretty local. And then we just start them up from seed, and all of a sudden, 4 or 5 months later, we have beautiful fruit that sometimes we don't even know we're getting until we're holding it in our hands, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'd say 99% of it you wouldn't be able to find in a supermarket. We're growing really heirloom stuff that's just unique and crazy and out there.
Where do you go to find heirloom seeds?
The most popular, or my favorite website I found, is called rareseeds.com, and they just have, like, more seeds than you ever know to do with, and it's just people that have cross-pollinated and played with the genetics of plants for a while, and they will combine, like, an apple with a melon, and then they have, like, some really crazy apple melon, which I talked about before, and then it's this really cool, like, unique product. And then we have, like, habaneros. People do the same thing. We have peppers on site that are growing that have the flavor of habanero, but more like the heat of a jalapeno, so you can enjoy the taste of habanero more, because habaneros are great, but they're kind of hard on you sometimes.
It can be rough, yeah. Very cool. Did you guys do this kind of stuff when you were kids? I mean, were you into horticulture and growing stuff?
Or? Our parents had a little garden that we were involved with. I mean, we also, a big thing when we were growing up, my dad had shiitake logs that he pumped out. He had 1,600 shiitake logs, and he would just mass produce shiitakes. And we actually kind of followed his footsteps there. We have about 300 logs on site at the crossing.
Oh, my goodness.
And every 4 or 5 weeks, we produce about 20 to 30 pounds, and we include those on our menu as well. We're trying to do, like, a little bit of everything, and just eventually the goal is to have, like, maybe this time next year, have just a 12 to 14 item menu that rotates based on what we're growing on site and source within 100 miles, even our proteins. We want to get away from the entire menu that's I guess pictures and things like that, you know. We want to focus on, like, every single thing changing, which is really exciting.
You talked about it a little bit earlier, the tough aspects of being in restaurant business as an enterprise. The toughest part may be following what people are looking for, right? And you talked about bringing the restaurant to the community that you're serving, rather than saying, hey, here's our idea, hope you like it. Has that worked well? I mean, how has it been for you to with your own patrons? Are they receiving this well? I mean,
yeah, we had, like, an incredibly successful reception from the community. I mean, they've been really, really excited, and they just love it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. People really pick up on the fact that we have a rotating menu, and about once or twice a week, we have random customers or friends or family or whatever just show up, and they challenge us. They'll bring in, like, a bucket of pecans up in their tree or whatever it may be, you know, and we just take it on as, like, a challenge. They'll throw it on the menu. I mean, whether it's satsumas or pecans or frog legs, whatever it is, you know, we're going to try and sell it.
Well, you're right there on that canal, so you could probably start harvesting your own.
Start gigging right out right in the property.
You know, a little gator tail wouldn't hurt, right?
Yeah, we actually do gator tail. I go gator hunting about once a year, and when season's there, get a couple tags, and the tags are allow me to sell them on site. So I process about 3 gators a year.
Wow.
And we'll sell the gator that I actually kill on the menu.
Yeah, very interesting. What's the toughest part about business in general for you?
We probably have different minds about it maybe, but yeah. For me, I would say it's the staffing. We have a constant, our staffing. Mm. We have, a really tight core group of people that's been around for a while and will be there for who knows how long, but we have a underlying constant change of servers and dishwashers and things like that.
College town, I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
People coming and going. What do you like most about it? I mean, there's a lot of things that you've already given us, but what is it that really gets you most excited?
Every time someone asks me that, I say it's not having a boss.
Other than your brother.
We're kind of each other's boss, but it works out really well.
Yeah, we feed off each other. We're always constantly challenging each other and pushing each other, which is why we've got to where we are.
Yeah.
Whenever we never really have slack days, because if I slack, he lets me know I'm slacking.
I mean, he is the front end guy, man.
There you go. I would say my favorite part of it is the adrenaline rush of a Saturday night when you have when you turn over about 500 or 600 covers in about 4 or 5 hours, and you have an 8-man line in the back and you're leading it and control, you're only have 2 hands, but you're controlling 12, or even more. It's it's the flow and the adrenaline rush and whatever. But I mean, that feeds into my nature though, of why I got into it, because I am an adrenaline junkie. I've surrounded myself with skydiving and wakeboarding and snowboarding, and I just, when I'm not working,
so
I'm
this is a piece of cake for you.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And it's, no pun intended, sir.
Yeah. And it's definitely, that's what it is for me. Is my favorite part is sweating and moving as fast as you can for 7 hours during dinner rush, and end of it, all you hear is people just ranting and raving about how awesome the food was, and not even skipping a beat and making 12-minute ticket times, and
there
just having that constant chase for perfection.
This is great. Thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
I feel inspired. I'm going to go do something. All right, Jesse and Tyler Rice. Good job, guys. Thanks. Thanks again.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Folks, you stay with me. I've got more coming up here. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Well, here we are in the second hour of this here fine radio show. If you have missed any of the episodes that we are so delighted to bring you, you can always find us online, TallahasseeTalks.com. You can subscribe to the podcast. You can listen to any of those shows right there, streaming on your computer, your cell phone, whatever you like, your tablet. What we heard in the first hour with Jesse and Tyler Rice, I mean, that's an inspiring story. I mean, these guys bootstrapping their way along, figuring out how to turn out a restaurant idea and see it just sort of evolve right there in front of them. They saw an opportunity. What initially seemed like a pretty reasonable idea, as that idea began to unfold and they saw what they had to work with, the circumstances themselves brought about more and more creativity, right? So they had all this land around the restaurant out there at the Backwoods Crossing, and then Tyler's telling us, well, we realized we had more to work with than we initially had considered. And so they went from just putting in a nice flower garden to now a working vegetable garden, which is sort of almost now a mini farm when you think about it, because they've got laying chickens and they got quail and all kinds of stuff. Right, Carl? So that's cool. Anyway, so that was in the first hour. If you missed it, don't worry about it. Go to the website. You'll be able to listen. Or you can listen online tonight at 9:30. I've got a repeat of the broadcast Saturday nights on Moose Magnificat. And on Wednesday at 5:30, moosemagnificat.com is there to keep you plugged in. That particular radio station is a very simple idea, exactly. I mean, what happens is we hear from local artists, musicians. And so we feature all of those musicians who will send us their recordings. And it's all local and all original songs. That's the whole format of the station. And we blend in a little talk here and there from some of the conversations we've had with them along the way. And, of course, as I say, we bring you Tallahassee Talks in its entirety from week to week on Saturday morning, Saturday evening, and on Wednesday afternoon. So there you go. Here's another announcement, too, that you want to make note of Leon County announcing the opening for Big Bend Pop Warner football. Leon County encourages youth ages 5 to 15 to get involved in Big Bend Pop Warner, the county's licensed sports provider for premier tackle and flag football, cheer, and dance. So all of it is involved. So Big Bend Pop Warner is endorsed by USA Football and its Heads Up football program. Pop Warner's goal is to develop well-rounded young men and women who learn not only sport fundamentals, but also the importance of education in an atmosphere conducive to developing sound character and having a good time at the, right along with it all. So that's a good thing, right? Pop Warner football, courtesy of Leon County. And let's see, we have another announcement. Oh, this is the Fall Seed Library. All seven county library locations will have seeds available for checkout beginning Saturday, July 29th. Special Fall Seed Library kickoff event will be held from noon to 3 at the Eastside Branch out there on Pedrick Road. And you can check out sample seed packets, enjoy hands-on gardening activities and cooking demonstrations, and then visit the Master Gardener booth. Since we're talking about farm to table today, I thought, yeah, maybe you'd like to try your hand at doing a little gardening of your own. So that's a cool thing. Here's another library program. This is Build a Better World, which is the theme of this year's summer library program. Fun and learning will be available at the main library and all branch libraries in July. Don't miss upcoming adult programs in the main library, which include Build a Greener World. Here we go. Everyday Sustainability, Saturday, July 15th. Yeah. So that's a program right there that's going to, again, talk about growing your own stuff. That's great for your own pocketbook, too. It's a lot more affordable. And then here's Build a Safer World, and that's July the 29th at 1 o'clock. Nicole King with the American Red Cross Disaster Program Manager. She'll be there to talk about building a safety plan for you and your family. Home fires, by the way, are the biggest disaster threat in the U.S., and hurricane season has just begun. So the question is, are we prepared? Well, of course, that's a shoe-in for me to talk about our own prepared program. You've heard me talk about TallahasseePrepared.com. That's a website that we host so that you and I are better informed of local resources and with helpful information that can be vital not only to our survival, but actually avoiding problems. And the thing about the prepared program that we're running, it's designed to be available to you year-round. Okay, so hurricane season, yes, of course, is a challenge, a threat, requiring us to be a bit more vigilant. We had Chief Gaines with us last week to talk about that. And in fact, when we think about being prepared, there's that sort of necessary effort to make ourselves more aware. Well, this website is designed to help you in that process, right? So TallahasseePrepared.com is there to help us better prepare for severe weather throughout the year. Beyond the hurricane season, heat, humidity, lightning, thunderstorms, flash floods. Yeah, it's all part of the whole situation that we live with here. And with that, I will say we're going to learn a lot as we go forward because we're going to invite some of these folks that are involved in this whole prepared effort to be a part of our show, and I'll keep you informed of that as we go forward in the weeks ahead. I suppose I should add a sort of editorial note in regard to some of the things that we've been seeing in the press locally having to do with FBI investigations and some of the folks in the business community who are now under scrutiny involving CRA activities, the Community Redevelopment Agency. It's going to be a while, I think, and in that capacity, I think we should all take a deep breath and not overreact. But certainly when we have somebody like Kerry Post coming to the show to talk about helping us better find our brand or better celebrate what is the real Tallahassee, we would say, what's genuine about us, stuff like this, there's certain statistics that get a lot of headlines. I want to put a little bit of a positive spin on this, if I can, for you. It is not a bad thing, in my opinion, when we are faced with facts, with truth, even though it can be unsettling, even though it may be disruptive. A disruptor, as such, can be the very best person in the room. If what's being disrupted is a status quo that does not benefit the vast majority of people involved. So another way to say that is, I suppose, if we seek to do the very best we can for the greatest number of people, that means that more people have to be a part of that conversation. That's one of the reasons why I think it's important we better get involved in things like how monies are spent through agencies like CRA, and whatever we may discover in the process, if it's among business leaders, among elected officials, or agency administrators, let's get down to the truth. Let's air it out, and let's not just fix that problem, but let's rethink as to the manner in which those kinds of problems occurred to begin with. And certainly Tallahassee is not isolated in that. I mean, there have been abuses like this, particularly with regard to CRAs, you know, around the country. But in our situation, we're at a very critical time. And I'm going to ask Carrie Post to speak to that here in just a minute. But when you look at where Tallahassee is in its emergence, in its development, this may be the very best thing that we can imagine. We're kind of pulling the sheets back and saying, okay, let's look at what's been going on. What can we learn from that? How can we prevent that from happening? How do we change things structurally so we're not as likely to repeat that same problem? Does that make sense? Well, I hope it does. In any case, I look forward to having you with me through the rest of the hour. Carrie Post is with us. She is the executive director for Visit Tallahassee, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
If you are a visitor to Tallahassee, we have a number of ways in which we are known around the nation, around the world. And some of the statistics that have come in the last 10 years haven't been those that we're particularly proud of. And like any community, we've got our own stuff that we've got to own up to. And I guess I look at it the way I would look at an individual or maybe a family, that everybody's got stuff, right? Baggage, whatever. But everybody also has really cool stuff to talk about. And Tallahassee is one of those places in the world that is, I think, trying to find more of its own identity. And it's come about alongside of, or maybe even because of, a lot of the work that has gone into our infrastructure, parks and recreational opportunities and business development. If you've been paying attention, if you've been listening to this show for the last several years, this is a conversation that is ongoing. And so it's a great opportunity when we have somebody like Carrie Post come and sit with us to talk about what her day looks like on an average day. And so let's welcome Carrie Post. How are you?
Wonderful, Brian. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here with you.
It's a pleasure. Long overdue, I might add. Carrie, for those of you who don't know, she's the person in charge of everything. She's in charge of...
I don't know about that.
You are now.
Okay, great.
So we have someone we can blame. Anything goes wrong, just call Carrie. She'll fix it.
Got it.
She's in charge of what has become known as Visit Tallahassee. Okay, so and by its... description, immediately you think, okay, so this is about attracting people to our community. Well, you'd be right. In fact, prior to Carrie's arrival, you would have known it as the Leon County Tourist Development Council. And I think that actually still exists on paper, but we know you as Visit Tallahassee, right?
That is correct.
It's easier to say.
Correct. The TDC is actually a statutorily authorized advisory body. They're just policy. Gotcha. The real work and marketing gets done at the Visit Tallahassee, the Leon County Office of Tourism Development, one and the same because we're a division of county government. But yes, we are Visit Tallahassee and market the region to the world.
And as such, it seems to me, you have that kind of PR role, right? Public relations that says, here's how great we are. And then you've also got a sort of interest in how you contribute to our economic development, because you want people to come here and spend money here in the stores and the hotels and restaurants and all the rest, right?
Correct.
Okay. So there's that sort of intersection of how cool we are with how much we have to offer, and how that then spells for us economic development or contributes to growth.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, if I can just cite a few statistics even from last year in 2016, Tallahassee had more than 2.3 million visitors come here. And they generated, they came and spent money, generated almost $850 million in spending in Leon County.
When you think about our population, I mean, we're only, a couple hundred thousand people.
Correct. And then, and when you think, too, that tourism and hospitality jobs in Leon County total almost 14,000. So whether that's restaurants, hotels, et cetera, and the tourism and hospitality. So, again, I mean, because it's there's different businesses that make up tourism. You've got hotels and restaurants. I mean, folks that, because visitors, when they come, you know, their first and the greatest expenditure they have when they visit the area is restaurants.
Yeah,
they
go
out to eat, like you had said, when you know, when your friends come, that's what they do. Yeah, they go. Dining is number one, with staying in hotels being second.
We had on the show earlier today in the first hour, Jesse and Tyler Rice, these two brothers who come from Sop Choppy and create their restaurant, and then bring that to Tallahassee proper with the Backwoods Bistro, and then now the Backwoods Crossing. That's the kind of thing you're talking about, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And they are a tremendous blessing and asset to the destination, because they have truly a great story. We actually, when we host journalists, we bring them in to come write about all the cool stuff there is to see and do here. And almost invariably, there's always a meal at Backwoods Crossings because they really exemplify. And I know we were talking about this earlier, that this area historically has been very agrarian and agriculture based. And to some extent, our neighboring counties still are.
Indeed.
But it's what they are bringing to the culinary scene with the two restaurants is very, very exciting.
Marrying that whole experience.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they're passionate, too. I mean, these guys, I asked him, I said, so what do you guys do on the weekends? And he said, what's a weekend? Yeah. There is no weekend for us. Would you agree that in your role as the chief here in charge of Visit Tallahassee, is that a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job? Do you ever get a chance to not check your Twitter account?
No, and you're never off. I'm always thinking. Yeah. You're always on. There's always things to do. The destination, it's a very exciting time to be in Tallahassee right now. There's, from a destination marketing standpoint.
Why is that? Why do you think that is?
You know, it's funny. I've lived here now for about 20 years, and I see and feel an energy here in town, and probably the last 3-5 years maybe, that wasn't there before. I think whether it's part of, when you look at some of the, like we had talked earlier about the some of the redevelopment that's happened, that's really brought
King
it
Street in,
exactly,
and Cascades Park and such, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
It's really
some investments.
Investments, but also some really creative folks, such as like the Rice brothers, have chosen to come here and helped not only obviously develop their businesses, but in fact have truly enhanced the community by doing so. And like I see now, like the districts, like you said, you got Gaines Street, College Town, that's more defined. You've got Midtown kind of going with its groove. Market District, you know, they're out, they're doing more of a shopping destination out there. And now there's the Uptown, which is, you know, north on Thomasville. There's a whole energy and vibe up there.
Right.
that wasn't there before.
We had Jesse Lynn on here about a month or so ago talking about the center of.
And yes.
There's the Northwest side. Folks, talking to Carrie Post, she's the director for Visit Tallahassee, learning a little bit more about how we are being perceived and how much of that is by design and how much of it is simply by our own discovery and growth. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
Trucking Hard Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Trucking Hard Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
Truck and Car Concepts smoking hot summer savings going on now. Get a free tailgate pong game with any purchase $500 or more, or a free seven-way plug with any gooseneck hitch installation.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Get your free tailgate pong game or your free seven-way plug this week during the smoking hot summer savings event going on now at Truck and Car Concepts on Mayhem Drive.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here for
you. Call 656-8800.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks. Brian Cerny.
Talking with Carrie Post, we've been observing the fact, the two of us together, that in the last number of years, and I think you're right, 3, 4, 5 years has gone by, the arrival of significant changes to the downtown, the Gaines Street, the North End, the Northwest, all of these things happening, it seems as though they've all happened rather simultaneously, right? It's not just been this and then that. It's all happened at the same time. Some of that has happened by design, right? The whole blueprint thing. I mean, the people that were behind that said, you know what? No, we're not going to wait another 10 years. We're going to accelerate that thing. We want that to happen now. You have those investments that have been made in the Frenchtown area.
Exactly.
That said, you know what? No, we don't need to go another decade. We need to make things happen right now. Then you have, as you've said, the organic, a part of how we're growing. And in that, and this is my question for you, and I talked about it in our first segment. There are parts of our community that don't feel good, don't make us real happy, and don't give us an opportunity to say, hey, look at us. You know, we have the highest violent crime rate in the nation per capita. That just doesn't look good on a business card, you know. That's not a good slogan for us. And yet there's the reality. You know, Richard Florida comes back and says, yeah, you're the most segregated economically and socially, not necessarily along racial lines, more along the lines of you have these pockets of people that just don't hang with each other. They don't do things together. They don't even know each other. And I'm reminded of this woman I met at a women's forum luncheon when I asked her about Cascades Park. Not only did she not know what it was when I explained it to her, she didn't care. She had no interest in it. And she said she's a branch manager for a credit union on the northwest side of town, where they live, work, and play. Now, to me, that doesn't seem unusual in the life of a city. Every city has its right, its districts, and its bureaus, boroughs, and you stay kind of where you are used to being. But we're such a small town that it seems sort of silly to me that, you know, it's not more than a couple of miles away from you, and in some cases, it's the people right next door to you. You know, you're living in a house that's worth $500,000, and two doors down, there's a guy in a single wide in the same neighborhood. I mean, that's also part of Tallahassee, isn't it?
I mean, truly, our diversity is our strength, I believe. And the fact that, like you said, I mean, we're really, as a community, pretty close, but there are some of those where there's not perhaps as much either interest or awareness of what else there is around the community.
Sure, sure.
And one of our roles, and basically since I've been in this position, I really see the value in educating residents on basically what all there is to see and do in the area, and that's really cool.
That's
because
an interesting point.
And part of it is statistically, again from our research, is about a third of the visitors that come here stay with friends and family. And so when you hear it, and it's, and like you said, all of us, I mean, you and I included, we, you know, you get, you're busy and caught up in your, you know, you're until like, you know, you got a, you got family coming in or friends, and you're thinking, okay, where are we going to go? What are we going to, you know, that type of thing. So we are doing more, and you might see like the I Heart Tally campaign around that we want, because there is really a lot of cool stuff, you know, in this area. And so part of our role now is doing more to educate residents on what all there is to see and do. Like I would say, you know, to the colleague or the woman you had met, that if you have kids, you know, you've kind of, it's worth the drive to go to Cascades Park, and the drive's not that far from, you know, northwest part of the county, but to take your kids there. You know, so again, but I think a lot of it, to your point, is awareness of what's going on. There's actually a lot of free events, like for families and things like that. But it's, again, trying to help connect the dots in the community, I think, is important.
It certainly must make your job tougher when, and I think you were part of the whole Nashville trip, right?
Mm-hmm.
That
I was.
Came about recently. When people are asking you, okay, Carrie, we need to find our brand. Can you make us one? Make us a brand. What do you, how do you reply to that?
And that's funny you say that, because I did get asked that a lot. and what I would say to you, and again, and I'd go back to some things we've talked about, is it's your brand is like, it's your DNA. It's your personality. It's got to be organic. I mean, it's got to be real and who you are.
Comes up from who you are.
Exactly.
Right? Right.
And you are who you are. I mean, like you said, almost kind of, whether I say, you know, warts and all, but some of it, I mean, obviously we promote a destination for, you know, what people want to do, the outdoors, the nature, but, you know, we are, the destination is, we are who we are. And one of the examples I gave in Nashville to, in talking with some folks, because they were like, just create something. Just, we got to just come up with something. And I said, it's got to be real. Think about when Las Vegas, when they tried to brand themselves as a family-friendly destination, and everybody looks like, well, I remember that was ridiculous, you know? And it's those types of things that, you know, that it has to be real to who you are. And so, again, I'd go back to, we are a very diverse community, and so that's God. That is part of our existing brand. I mean, that is part of who we are. But then there's also, I think, from some of the conversations in Nashville, perhaps a desire to have this one, you know, kind of moniker or silver bullet that defines all of us here and everything, and every organization can latch onto it. And I'm not sure that's feasible either, because we are so very diverse.
Right.
But I think the discussion is good. And as we go on to say, there's certainly having discussions on what our brand is, but also the branding, the elements. It's kind of like one thing I say earlier, it's one thing how you see yourself, you know, that's your brand identity, but what other people think about you and how they perceive you is, you know, kind of the brand equity. And that could be very different than how you perceive yourself.
And in that capacity, that is a big part of your role, is to help us craft a message that brings who we really are to impact how we're perceived, right? That's sort of that intersection. So when people say, oh, well, you're Florida State University. Yeah, you had that quarterback that was like really weird and he was doing all kinds of weird stuff. So yeah, so you laugh when I say that. And at the same time, there's got to be a tear in your eye, because you're like, yeah, see, that's one slice of what we are.
Correct.
But we're a whole lot more than that.
Correct. And that's our job to really kind of, again, to broaden. And that's one of my personal missions, is to broaden the narrative.
It's got to feel like three steps forward, two steps back.
Mm-hmm.
Because you work and work and work and work, and then some headline hits the fan. And, you know, whether it's the crime rate or segregated city or a football player, I mean, wow. So when that happens, do you guys sort of close ranks, close the doors and say, okay, how do we work this? Or do you simply go, look, that's how we are and that's part of our thing and we have another agenda here that we're working? I mean, how does it impact you, I guess, when you see that stuff?
For most, I mean, and it's, we monitor it and we're aware of it. And then we see, like, are we starting to get a lot of negativity, like, on our social media channels for something like that? So we monitor it and then maybe adjust accordingly. But generally, if it's something in the community that we have no influence over or control over, we monitor to see. And again, we'll, our job is to, again, to statutorily get people to come here, visit, you know, spend money, have a great time, and then go back home. And so they may not be coming here just for the university. They may be coming here just to go paddling down, so it may or may not influence a travel decision. So that's where we kind of kick in when it's the travel decision. But one thing I would tell you, for example, when Hurricane Hermine came through and impacted us last year, where we all bunch up and we have a responsibility in messaging and putting things in place because we not only have visitors that are here, you know, in town that are impacted, but then those perhaps that have evacuated from somewhere else. So that's when we really will kick into gear because it is absolutely impacting the traveling public.
She's the head of our beloved Visit Tallahassee, charged with these responsibilities. Carrie Post is our guest. You stay with me. We've got more.
When you place a document in someone's hand, it should reach more than their head. It needs to reach their heart with compelling visuals and dramatic presentations right down to the paper it's printed on. Rapid Press reaches the hearts of thousands of people every day with commercial printing and mailing services for organizations that feed and house children, for businesses that bring vital products and services to our community, and for theaters, festivals, and orchestras reaching bigger audiences and bringing joy to life. Rapid Press commercial printers since 1983.
For digital printing, offset printing, finishing, and mailing services, reach for Rapid Press. When you're ready to share your vision, excite your customers, and reach the hearts of your audience, reach for Rapid Press. You'll find them online at rapidpress.com or call 893-7346. 893-7346. Rapid Press, the power of print.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
If you've just joined us, we're talking with Carrie Post, remarkable group of people, I have to tell you. Lauren Pace is another one of these folks that just day in and day out there on the photo shoots, trying to make sure that people don't get eaten by an alligator or something, you know, in the process. They work pretty hard. I mean, it might be fair to say, would it be fair to say that Visit Tallahassee is sort of the PR, you're like the ad agency for
That's a fair analogy. Yeah. We're the what I've called even like the stewards of the brand, exactly, because it is our job to market Tallahassee to
the world.
To the world, correct. Yep. That is what we do.
That's what I hear you saying is, guys, it's got to be genuine. So my question is, how do we get to that genuine? How do we help this teenager better discover who she is?
It's so funny you say that because I would agree with you. It's in some senses, it does feel like Tallahassee's coming of age. They're, you know, like you said, at a stage in their life where the door, you know, are opening. It's like, holy cow, you get a glimpse of your future and what you can be. Yeah. I think to the point you just said is, I think any discussion on branding has got to involve residents and not just, like you said, a narrow focus of residents. Mm. There has to be, and I said this, if the residents are not involved in the discussion, then we're not doing our job has to be exactly that. You hit on it just a few minutes ago, the music scene here. There's a lot of really talented people that I think we're just starting to now scratch the surface on telling that story of the talent that's here. But to your point, as we continue these discussions on branding and who we are and where we're going, I absolutely believe that there has to be an input in the opportunity for broad community input.
It's remarkable how much your comments there mirror a lot of the things that a lot of our guests have said about diversity and this desire to try to bring all of these different parts and pieces of Tallahassee together in a way that is more reflective, I guess, more, you said, genuine, when it comes to saying, here's who we really are. But it can't be, can it be imposed, or does it really have to come from within us? We have to kind of come up to those things, or should it even be our endeavor? Maybe we should just let it all happen and let other people. Did New Orleans decide they were going to be the jazz capital of the world way back when, or even Nashville? Did they set out to be the music city? They just did what they do, right?
That's the organic part to me. It has to be. It cannot be top down. I firmly believe that.
Okay.
It has to be organic and authentic, where you have to have exactly what's the vibe of the residents. What's right. You know, what is that?
Right.
But it's
right.
Also has to be in a way that it's accessible to everybody, but yet it's also from our perspective, promotable to say, and again, you can't separate the product away from this. The people are one part of the product,
right.
But all for our view, for tourism,
right.
What do people do when they come here?
Interesting.
And so the product is part of our physical
yeah.
part of our DNA, but then there's our personality.
Others have been critical when they look at various developments, without picking on anybody, but they look around north, south, east, west, and there's a kind of imposed style, right, that it doesn't feel like Tallahassee. And some have said that about the whole Gain Street thing, that it just looks like Disney in a box, you know, they came and dropped it in, or Southwood or whatever. And I get that. I mean, I understand the economic impetus for that, and I can even see the benefit of that in that sense. But there's also that, and there's been a lot of pushback in Frenchtown over this question. Are you replacing what we are, this natural, organic, this DNA-generated identity, with something that a group of other people decided, well, this is how you should really look?
And that's what's, it's there. That is the challenge of destination marketing.
Yeah.
And I think any community's growth is you have to balance the economic benefits that come with, you know, yeah. development and redevelopment with not selling your soul to get there, you know.
Gotcha.
And so there's a term that I've used over the years, and because I've worked with and been in just about every corner of the state, and when I tell them they're interested in the economic benefits of tourism, but they think, oh my gosh, I'm going to be Disney World tomorrow. And I was like, no, you got to grow into that. But it's all about balance and management, because there's a term I call generica, where if a destination starts looking like everywhere else, why go?
Why? Yeah.
You know, and again, from our role, we market what makes us unique. Because that's why people are going to come here, based on what are our special unique attributes that people come. So you don't want to, and generica is more, you know, defined as homogenization of the landscape through commercialism. Mm. That again, it goes to, if every place looks the same, why go? So we have to balance that preservation and what makes us unique and special. Mm. And in every part of our community, to also how can we bring in the economic benefits of redevelopment, but still being true to who we are. That is the perennial challenge of a destination, and that's where I think that's the nexus of having the community and the people involved in these discussions.
Now, I have to say, I think we're fortunate that you and Lauren are part of that conversation on a daily basis. And so if you haven't heard it from anybody else, thank you. For what you're doing to try to help us all figure out who the heck we are. Folks, I'll keep working on that for my part, just because, you know, I don't know who I am anymore. Carrie, thanks for being a part of this today. you're invited to come back anytime that you can help set me straight here on such things. And we certainly want to know more about what you're doing to help advance our brand or whatever that amounts to, right? And God bless you while you try to deal with all the people that are going to try to shove you into a little round hole. I think they've got a challenge on their hands. I think you'll be able to push back rather nicely. And you do it so well. It's so charming, too. I mean,
well, thank you. And thank you for the opportunity to be here with you. And I would hope we can continue our dialogue.
Folks, you know that's how it goes around here. And I'm glad that you were a part of it today to have Carrie Post with us, the executive director is your proper title, right?
That's correct.
Executive director for Visit Tallahassee, also known as Leon County Tourist Development Council. For you old-timers who are still here and looking forward to more, we're going to be back here again next week with more of the same kinds of conversations that make this show what it is. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat right here in Tallahassee. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
When you place a document in someone's hand, it should reach more than their head. It needs to reach their heart with compelling visuals and dramatic presentations right down to the paper it's printed on. Rapid Press reaches the hearts of thousands of people every day with commercial printing and mailing services for organizations that feed and house children, for businesses that bring vital products and services to our community, and for theaters, festivals, and orchestras reaching bigger audiences and bringing joy to life. Rapid Press commercial printers since 1983.
For digital printing, offset printing, finishing, and mailing services, reach for Rapid Press. When you're ready to share your vision, excite your customers, and reach the hearts of your audience, reach for Rapid Press. You'll find them online at rapidpress.com or call 893-7346. 893-7346. Rapid Press, the power of print.